What is one sacrifice you have made in order to achieve a desired goal? Maybe it was something that you did to lose weight. Maybe it was something that you did for your job or your family, or just something that you did personally. But think about that for a moment. One sacrifice that you have made in order to achieve a desired goal. Would you do it again? Why would you do it again? Stick around. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at a living sacrifice to God out of the book of Romans, chapter 12. Hey, folks, welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study. A moment ago, I asked you if there was a time or what one sacrifice that you had made in order to achieve a desired goal along the way. For a lot of us, we can think about those things, and we can recall when we did something that truly was a sacrifice to us. Now, when I say a sacrifice, I'm not talking about something that we, you know, just kind of flippantly put aside or what have you. I'm talking about something that really took us giving something up to achieve along the way. Many of us can think about some things maybe in our life. You had a situation where you had to sacrifice many things along the way for your children. But you sit back and you look back over it and you say, yes, that was well worth it because I achieved the desired goal. My kids were able to do whatever it may have been, or we were able to achieve this common goal. And oftentimes if I would ask somebody that question, would you do it again? They would say without any shadow of a doubt, I would definitely be willing to do that again. Today we want to look in the Bible at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the first 8 verses where we discover a living sacrifice. That's a term that you may or may not have heard, but it's a term that we constantly refer to in the Bible, but it is something that we should refer to every day. And you'll understand why I say that in just a moment. But look with me, if you would, in your Bible at the book of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for yet another opportunity to be able to gather around your word. Lord, you are good to us. You want to speak to us today. You have a message for each and every one of us. I pray that we will be tuned in to what it is that you want to speak to our hearts today. Lord, may we truly focus upon you. We know there are many things, particularly if we're watching this by broadcast, that could be a distraction around us. Lord, don't let Satan win in that regard. Help us to take your word. Help us to focus upon it during these moments. And then, Lord, help us to make pleasing adjustments to our lives, those adjustments that will be pleasing to you. And, Father, for your messenger of the moment, I just ask that you truly would help me to lift you up, that all men might see you. Father, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at our text for today, Paul is exhorting believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, some people might sit back and say, well, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Look at verse 1 there of chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when we think about that, the Lord is telling us that he's told us some other things about our bodies. He's told us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we trust in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit that indwells us. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the Word tells us. So we should do everything that we can to take care of it. We should do everything that we can to not abuse the circumstance, to not abuse the grace that God has bestowed upon us with our bodies. That means we should take care of ourselves. We should be careful about what we put into our body. And when I say that, most of you know what I'm talking about, substances that aren't healthy for us. Even overeating could be something that is not healthy for us. But when we put things in our bodies that are going to pollute it, that's not something that we should do. We should look at our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should look at our body as the living sacrifice to our Lord and Savior. Now, in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. I want to share a passage with you that comes out of Luke's Gospel chapter 9 and verse 23. It says this. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Now let that sink in for a minute. It says, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to be a follower of our Lord and Savior, if you want to be a disciple, and when I say disciple, I mean both of the definitions that I've given you over time. Remember, a disciple, often we generically use that to say a follower of Christ, meaning somebody who is born again. But a disciple is more than that. A disciple is one who follows. Not one who simply follows the Lord to church on Sunday, not one who is just spiritual on Sunday morning, but one who takes it to heart every day to be pleasing to the Master. So the word that was spoken in the book of Luke 9:23 still holds true today. If anyone, that means you, if anyone desires to come after me, this is Jesus speaking, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I want you to consider for a moment when we talk about daily. What does that mean, to do this daily? First of all, think about how is being a living sacrifice to God related to what Jesus said when he said, take up your cross daily? That means that each and every day that we get up is a new day, is a new opportunity. I love what the Word tells us about this as well. There are so many Christian people that I know who are going through life and they're living a defeated life because of what happened in the past. Folks, the Lord tells us that we need to repent of those past sins. We need to confess them to Him and we need to let them go. Are you hearing me? If you are one of those people who is allowing Satan to get in your ear and tell you, well, God would never want to have anything to do with you because look at what you did, or you are not worthy because of look at what you did in the past. The Word tells us that when we give our sin to the Lord, He forgives it, throws it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never ever to be remembered again. So when we look at that and when we think about being a living sacrifice, when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, thank you that you've given me this day. Thank you that I get up on my two feet. Thank you that I can see. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for shoes on my feet. Today, I want to represent you well. I am your child. I want to represent you well in my workplace, in my school, in my doings, in my telephone calls, in my interactions with the wait staff at the local restaurant. In everything I do, I want to magnify you. Now, it says that we're to take up our cross and follow Him on a daily basis. That means that there are some things that we're going to struggle with. That means that we have to understand that to follow the Lord, to be a true disciple in a way that's pleasing to Him, is going to cost us something. It is going to be a sacrifice, and we need to remember that daily. Not just once a week, not just every so often. Every time we get up, we need to consider the fact that we're to take up our cross and follow Him. This is something that has to be done on a daily basis, not something that we just consider and do once a week. Because then what that makes you is a part-time poser, as I've heard it called before. We're not doing the Lord any good when people look at our life and our life doesn't reflect what the Word of God says. Now, I've said this so many times, particularly here and about Central Baptist Church, that it's ironic how even unbelievers, even those who aren't following our Lord and Savior, know how a Christian person ought to walk. They know how a Christian person ought to act and ought to react, and they will be the first person to tell you, well, that's certainly not a Christian attitude. That's certainly not meaningful when it comes down to being a representative of Christ to the world. And folks, we can actually do the cause of Christ some damage in our world today. So let me ask you this question. What are some of the ways that God has been merciful to you? Now, why do I ask that question? Look back with me at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And God shows his mercies upon us daily. What we really deserve is death and hell because of the fact that we were born sinners from the sin nature of Adam. But God is merciful to us. How is God showing his mercy in your life? If you look, you shouldn't have to look very, very hard to see that. You should be able to look all around your life. Make this personal. Make these passages in this scripture, make this Bible study personal to you. So when I say that, what are some of the ways that God has been merciful and good to you? How could you answer that question? You know, God, like I said, I just gave you some just a moment ago. Hey, look, I got a roof over my head. I got shoes on my feet. I've got food on the table. My bills are paid. I have clothing. I have a family who loves me. I've got a church family. All these things. You could just make this list that goes on and on and on when you consider the mercies of God in your life. And notice what he said in verse 12. He says that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Okay? When you think about the mercies of God, why is it reasonable and acceptable for you to be a living sacrifice to him? Because that's what that verse 1 is telling us. It says, you know, to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to him. And it goes on and says, this is your reasonable service. This is not asking something that is above and beyond. This is what every Christian should and ought to do. It is your reasonable service. Why? Remember what I said, when you think about the mercies of God, the question was, why is it reasonable and acceptable for you to be a living sacrifice for him? You know, when we think about all the things that Christ has done for us, you know, we should be grateful, we should be thankful, we should be not only willing, but wanting to serve him, to be that living sacrifice for him because of all of the mercies that he shows upon us. That shouldn't be the only reason, but that's a really, really good reason when we think about all the things that God has done for us. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you've made that list and you've said, I'm going to do what old Pastor Roy said to do. I'm going to count my blessings. And you start going through, and that list, as it grows longer and longer and longer, you sit back and say, you know what? All of this is attributed to the mercies of God. And because of that, because he looks upon me, because he knows my name in this whole vast world of the billions of people that are on it, God knows Roy Carter by name. He has a plan for my life, and boy, that should make each and every one of us smile, because he's got a plan for you. Not the same plan, but he has a plan for you. So it is reasonable and acceptable that we should be serving him and that we should be that living sacrifice for him. You know, I guess the best way to say it is that it would be completely unreasonable for us not to. We owe so much to God, but now when I say that, I don't want you to be thinking that there's anything that we can do to earn our salvation or to earn some sort of favor with God. What we should do out of a heart of love and out of a heart of care. the sacrifices that we make, we should do because the thing we're sacrificing for is more important than the things that we are sacrificing. So in other words, the things that I'm saying I am willing to give up to achieve this or to complete this desired goal, which I hope and pray that it is to have a closer walk with our Lord. Yeah, first of all, you got to know him, but second of all, to have that closer walk with him, to be a true disciple in every facet, not just the facet of salvation, but in the facet of following him and learning from him and loving him. I always like to use this term. Well, it's great when we just have this opportunity to love on the Lord because the Lord is loving on us. And we can see that evidenced in our lives through all of the mercies that he bestows upon us. You know, think about it for a minute. What important command to obey? That's one of the things that I've asked you to look for as we study the Bible, commands that we should obey in the Word of God. And Paul gives us one of those commands that we should obey there in verse 2. And he talks about our relationship with the world in verse 2. Look with me if you would. Verse 2 says this. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So when we think about it, Paul is telling us in the Lord's Word that there's a command that we need to obey. And that command is this, that we be not conformed to the world. We don't become like the world. We don't do the things that they do because the Word tells us this. He says that if you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of the Lord because the two don't go hand in hand. When you give your life to Christ, when you become one of his children, you should desire to do the things that are pleasing to God. And where do we find those? We find those in his Word. We find those through sermons. We find those through circumstances and situations. We find those through godly counsel. We find that through the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we cannot be conformed to the world. That's a challenge. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that Christians have today. And the reason why is because we don't want to be different. The Lord called us out to be different, but every ounce of us does not want to be different. We want to be, you know, part of the flow of the crowd. We want to look like everyone else. We want to do what everyone else does. And when that conflicts with what God wants for us and what is good and what is wholesome and what is right for him, we have a choice we have to make. We're going to either decide to be conformed to the world, or we're going to decide that we're going to allow ourselves to be transformed by our Lord and Savior. So the command to obey is not to be conformed with the world. Even though the world is walking in the wrong path, and see what that creates peer pressure. That creates pressure on us. And peer pressure is not just something that you deal with as a child or that you deal with in high school. You deal with peer pressure when you're in college. You deal with peer pressure on the job. You deal with peer pressure in the neighborhood. You deal with that every way coming and going. So the Lord is telling us through Paul, as this is penned in the book of Romans, not to be conformed to the world, but to be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now the world is attempting to conform us. It is attempting to squeeze us into its mold and you know, put upon us its ideas and ideals. And we're supposed to be able to resist those based on godliness. Now, I want to share with you a passage out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And it says this. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, I think that's important. Remember, we just discussed a moment ago the difference between the world trying to squeeze us into its mold and wanting us to conform to it. So let me read that verse again. Think about this. Concentrate on it as I read it. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." Pause for a moment. Are you materialistic? Is everything that you do in life about gaining a larger bank account, a bigger house, a greener lawn, more money, better cars, all these other things. Yeah, is it materialistically? Remember, do not love, verse 15 of John, 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. And then he goes on and says this, same verse, verse 15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When it comes down to making that choice, yeah, the Lord says this, if you're going to go the way of the world, then you're not showing forth the love of the Father. The love of the Father is not in you. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. It starts giving examples. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Did you see that? Yeah, are we putting our faith and our stock in things that are temporal things, things that are going to pass away? Or are we laying up our treasures in heaven, the place where it's going to matter throughout all of eternity? Where are you laying up your treasures? You know, Paul says that spiritual transformation begins at a particular place, or it should begin at a particular place for a believer. Now, we're back over once again in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That right there is the key. That's where transformation begins, by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, think about it. How can a believer renew his or her mind, and what role does the Bible play in this? See, once we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, he has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of that temple. And it says this, it says that the Word of God is his love letter to us. It gives us our instruction. It gives us everything that we need. So one of the ways of renewing your mind is getting into the Word of God. It is about being discipled in the other sense of the definition I give you. Remember, first of all, people call a disciple one who has given their life and trusted Christ. In other words, one who is a born-again believer, people will refer to as a disciple. Now, the other and true definition goes to the fact that a disciple is one who follows him, one who seeks him, one who gets in his word, one who desires to do the will of the Father. You need to renew your mind. And that's where it begins. That is what he says in verse 2, where he says, don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. The Word of God's going to speak to you. The conviction will be there that you do the things that are pleasing to the Lord as you follow Him, or as you become a disciple. And you know what? That's a great, great journey. If you're doing this right, you'll have the desire to get into the Word of God. You will have the desire to be with God's people in the house of the Lord whenever is possible. You will have that desire to walk in the ways that are pleasing to the Father. Renew your mind. And when you renew your mind with God's Word, it helps you to discover some things. What does it help you discover? Verse 2 tells us that as well. Verse 2 says, once again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's why. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That is how you seek the will of God, by renewing your mind, by getting in the Word, by walking with Him. Now, there are several positive things that we see in those particular passages that Paul is pointing out to us right there. And it is important to think the right thoughts about our position, our personal position. Too many times we make it all about group effort. I want you for just a moment to focus upon your position. I've asked this question many times, and I hope that along the way that it's thought-provoking for each and every one of us. And the question that I ask is this. When you are alone with the Lord, and the Lord looks at you, and you know, would He be happy with your walk? Would He be happy with your participation as a believer? You see, being a believer is not about being a spectator. It's about being a participator. We're going to cover that in just a few moments. But how are you participating? Yeah, I want you to look at you for just a moment. Yeah, are you having the right thoughts about your position in the church? Now, some of you may have just said, well, I don't have a position in the church. Oh, yes, you do. You just may not be fulfilling that position within the church. Okay? So are you having the right thoughts about your position in the church, which is the body of Christ? Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 tell us this. For I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't be prideful, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Folks, as a believer, the Lord wants you to be attached to a local church. Now, I have said this so many times, it's redundant to the point where you might even be tired of hearing it. But COVID put us in a situation, church-wise, that is completely counterintuitive and counterproductive to everything that the Bible teaches us about being a believer and walking in the newness of life with Christ and being able to come together as brothers and sisters and being able to exercise our gifts and our talents and abilities. Folks, let me issue you a challenge today. If you're kind of on that fence, maybe through COVID you've stepped out and you haven't been able to be back with the body of believers. And I understand, like I've said before, I understand that there are folks who are high risk, and I understand that there are folks that really this is a tough decision. But then there's a lot of us out there who aren't. You know, that's not really that tough of a decision. It's just one that we have made a habit. Now, when I say made a habit, I'm talking about being out of church. We've made a habit of that over the past year and a half, and Satan's handed us an excuse that we could use by saying, well, it's COVID. The question is, as you evaluate where your walk is, have you allowed Satan to keep you from something that should be very important in your life? Let me tell you something. As a believer, when you are not part of a functioning part of the body of the Lord, then let me tell you what's going on. Something is going undone. Something is not happening. God has called you to the particular assembly or church that you're a part of for a reason. They need your gifts. They need your talent. They need your ability. They need your love. They need your fellowship. Are you fulfilling that? And by the way, you won't be answering that question to me. You need to answer that question to the Father. Now, if we're just being downright honest, there are some people that I know, and I know because they have basically confessed it, that they've gotten lazy through COVID. They're like, you know what? I've just enjoyed getting up and having my cup of coffee and sitting in the recliner and watching it by way of broadcast. Folks, that's not church. That's not coming together as a body of believers. It was great when that's all we had. It's great for those who can't get out. It's great for our Bible study time. But listen, don't let it take the place of the koinonia, coming together, the being the church. You know, church is not something that you just attend. Church is something that we are as a body of believers. So think about it. In verses 5 through 8, he goes on and he talks about the spiritual gifts and special gifts that the Spirit mentions. And Paul mentions them here in verses 5 through 8 where he says, so being many, that's talking about the assembly, that's talking about the church. So being many are one in the body of Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He's just given us some of the spiritual gifts, but what he's saying is this: if you've got it, use it. Don't just sit on it. I love the fact that church is made up of a body of individual members, but yet we have different abilities. We have different talents. And I love seeing them function together as the body of Christ, because when they do, incredible, incredible things get done. You know, I don't have, I've shared this before, I do not have the gift, a musical gift. I can't sing. You know, I might sing in the shower, but if anybody heard me, they'd probably want me to stop doing that. But I'm grateful that God puts in our midst, you know, people like we have here who have a voice. You know, Lynn and Tammy and those that sing in the choir, those that step up, that's voices angelic and can be used for the honor and the glory of God. Now, here's the thing. I can't do that. I would not be an effective tool in the music area in trying to minister to someone. But then again, too, that's not what God's called me to do. That's not where He's gifted me. Where He has gifted me is being able to share His word and being able to preach. Now, likewise, those people who I just mentioned that are part of our church that do a phenomenal job musically, they may not have the talent and ability to get up and do what I do as far as teaching, as far as having the opportunity to preach the gospel message. That's the great, great part about church. We should be able to enjoy our individuality, but we need to exercise our individuality. I've said it many, many times. I've even said it during this particular message this evening. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. It is a participator sport. Are you participating in your Christianity with the gifts and the talents and abilities that God has given you? Are you utilizing them through the church? You know, there are people that I know that God has blessed financially, and He has given them a gift of being able to share, the gift of hospitality, the gift of giving, the gift of being that person who God has supplied that says, hey, I've given you this that you might use for My honor and glory, and here is somebody in need. I want you to be the instrument in My hand, or My instrument to affect something in their life, a change, a blessing, whatever it may be. I've seen that happen. I love it. That's the reason why when somebody says to me, if they have the gift of giving and God has blessed them financially, and they say to me, well, preacher, if there's any circumstances or situations that you know of, please let me know. Listen, when that happens, I don't hesitate one single bit to pick the phone up and give them a call and say, hey, look, here's the situation. This is what's going on. You said I could call you in this case. I've done so. How can you help? And they are genuine. They have been given an opportunity to exercise their talent and ability that God has given them. For me to not call them would be to rob them of that blessing. That would be like somebody calling me and saying, well, Roy, you know what? You know, here's an opportunity for you to preach at this particular church or this particular event or whatever it may be. I'd be like, yeah, when do we go, man? I'm ready. Let's do this, because that gives me the opportunity to exercise the talents and abilities that God's given me. Now, get this, for His good, for His honor, and for His glory. It's not about selfish gain, and it should not be about me, as well as the fact that it should not be about you. Now, some people would sit back and say, well, yeah, I just don't know what mine are. You know, there are ways that you can discover your spiritual gifts. I actually have little spiritual gifts inventories that you could take to kind of help hone in on the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you. And don't say He hasn't given you some, because to every person He has given some talent and some ability and some spiritual gift that He requires you to use for Him through your church. Remember what we said before is we started these particular passages, and it talked about presenting ourselves a sacrifice to the Father, holy and acceptable. And it went on and said, this is your reasonable service. Listen, if you are not serving in some place through your church, you're not doing this right. And I know that sounds pretty hard, but you need to find out the area of your spiritual gifts and your talents, and you need to get busy, plain and simple. Listen, if you need help with that, contact us. We can help lead you in the path of discovering what those things are and help get you in that particular situation where you can utilize those talents and abilities for the Lord through His church. So what spiritual gift has God given you, and how are you using them for His honor and for His glory? That's a big question as we look at this today. Now, as we think about this, we started off by talking about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. So what is the connection between presenting your body as a living sacrifice, number one, knowing the will of God for your life, number two, and using your spiritual gifts for God's glory? I need you to think about those. I need you to be able to answer those questions in a biblical way because they are all linked together. As you present your body a living sacrifice, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I am an available instrument to you. Okay? Knowing the will of God for your life was the second one. You've got to get in here. You've got to know what it is. And listen, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it will be open to you. The Lord will reveal His will for your life because His will for your life is going to be about bringing Him honor and glory. So you got to know the will of God for your life, and you do that by renewing your mind through His Word. And what was the third thing I said? And using your spiritual gifts for His glory. Okay? Maybe you know what they are. The question is, are you utilizing them? Are you serving in your church? Are you serving people in your community? Are you serving those in your work? Are you magnifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ everywhere you go, every day? Remember, when do we do this? We need to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Him daily, every single day. How are you doing in these important areas of spiritual service in your life? Let me ask this question. If you're a regular viewer for our Wednesday Bible study, how is our Wednesday Bible study helping you to renew your mind with the Word of God? I hope and trust and pray that you can say, it's really helped me. I've grown in these ways. It's helped me in these particular areas, rather than the fact that, well, I just watch on Wednesday night because that's all we do. I've done that all my life. I've been in Wednesday service, and this is what we've got right now, so that's why I do it. Folks, listen, make it applicable to you. The Lord is speaking to you this very day. He is speaking to you through these words. He is speaking to you through this servant. He is speaking to you. The question is, are you listening to what He has to say? When you hear what He has to say, will you react in a way that will renew your mind and be pleasing to the Father? That's what we're going to pray about in just a moment. Let me go ahead and give you the Bible readings for this week. If you're new to our broadcast, the thing that we just ask you to do is read one chapter a day. I give you five chapters for a week. Now, there's 7 days in a week, so that gives you two where you can be a little lazy. And I don't want you to try to read them all at once. I don't want you to try to read ahead. I want you to just take one chapter a day, read it, study it, concentrate on it, pray about it. Let the Lord speak to you through that particular chapter on that particular day. So the chapters that we'll have you reading this week are going to be Romans chapter 14 through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's Romans chapter 14 through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Next week, we're going to be looking at the passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, titled The Foolishness of the Cross. You know, that's actually mentioned in the Word of God. It's facetious because we know that the cross is not foolish, but the foolishness of the cross is the title of next Wednesday's message. It'll come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Just a couple things before we close in prayer. We want to invite you to join us this coming Sunday evening right here at Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina at 6 o'clock p.m. For a farewell dinner for Dr. Gant and his family. As Dr. Gant begins a new journey as an educator, come on and join us for this special time. Again, that's going to be this coming Saturday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Did I say that wrong before? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. If I did, this is the correct. It is this coming Saturday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. here at Central Baptist Church. Farewell dinner for Dr. Gant and his family as he begins a new journey as an educator. Also, just to give you a little bit of a schedule, we're attempting this coming Sunday as another step in our re-entry to some form of normal. We do have Sunday school that is taking place. It begins at 9:30. Sunday school is at 9:30 to 10:15. And the Sunday service this coming Sunday will be in the sanctuary at 10:45 a.m. For this coming Sunday, we will not have Sunday evening services. Just as a reminder, we're going to try to phase that in over the next couple weeks, but there will be no Sunday evening service this coming Sunday evening. We will keep you posted as best we can as our schedule modifies during our re-entry to more of a normal schedule. So keep an eye out on our social media pages. Also keep an eye out for emails as we're beginning to phase things in starting this coming Sunday. Keep us in your prayers as we search for those to serve here at the church in the areas of music as well as youth, and we'll keep you posted as we make progress there as well. So why don't we look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we commit to taking up our cross daily and to presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross. Thank you so much, Lord, that He knows me by name. Father, as a believer, as one who follows you, you know my name. You have a plan, and you want to use not only me, but each and every one of your children in such a facet that you could be honored and glorified and that many would come to know you. Father, in the body of Christ, I pray that we are truly exercising our talents and abilities that you have given us that we might bring honor and glory to your name. If not, Lord, I pray that you will help us to get up and get busy. Help us to be the follower that you want us to be. Help us to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and daily, daily walk with you. Help us to renew our minds through your word and become exactly what you want us to be. For the sake of the kingdom. Lord, give us a great week. Send us to encourage somebody who doesn't know you or even who does know you but needs just a word of encouragement along the way. Use us as instruments, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday.